Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with MoneyWeb.
Okay, let's move on to legal matters now on the program. And the conclusion of Lobola negotiations marks a significant milestone in many cultures. It symbolizes the formal union of two families. But did you know that under the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, couples are considered married in community of property unless stated otherwise in an anti-nuptial contract? And I guess this would have major implications for things like home ownership, debt management, financial planning, etc., etc. So let's look at the complexities of this. And joining me now, Director at STBB Attorneys, Hopewell Satege. Good evening to you and a very warm welcome. So first of all then, what does being married in community of property legally mean for couples after those negotiations are concluded?
Sure. Thank you, Jeremy, for having me. So in essence, when we say a couple is married in community of property, it means that they have a joint estate. In other words, whatever assets and liabilities that they own forms part of the joint estate as opposed to them individually. So in instances of when couples conclude a customary marriage, unless they sign an anti-nuptial contract, then automatically all their assets form part of the joint estate. So as an example, if a husband or a wife own property in their name only and they get married without signing an anti-nuptial contract or they conclude a customary marriage, then that property automatically forms part of the joint estate, regardless that it's owned or it's registered only by one individual.
And in your experience, do you often find that you see people who are unaware of the difference between the two and have not gone into the anti-nuptial contract?
Absolutely. And this is particularly true in relation to customary marriages, where the misconception seems to be that, you know, couples will are only required to conclude an anti-nuptial contract once they conclude a civil marriage. You know, but as it stands legally, in terms of the customary recognition of Customary Marriages Act, as soon as you conclude a customary marriage, you're automatically in community of property unless you sign an anti-nuptial contract. You know, so the practice, as it were, is that, you know, people conclude lobola negotiations and they live together as husband and wife without realizing that they are in fact married in community of property.
So let's assume then that you want to change the process. How difficult is it to have that contract altered from a community of property to ANC?
Sure. So it's an interesting question with relation to customary marriage. You know, so there is a provision in the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act that says that if you are married in terms of customary law, then you can conclude an anti-nuptial contract and then get married in terms of civil law. So in terms of the Marriages Act, so automatically by operation of the law that alters, you know, from in community of property. So the customary marriage will be in community of property, but the civil marriage will be out of community of property because of the anti-nuptial contract. So that's only in relation to customary marriage. But generally speaking, in relation to civil marriage, you have to then make an application in the High Court to alter your matrimonial regime. So that's sort of the difference, as it were.
And is that a very difficult process, Hopewell?
The difficult process would be the application in the High Court, and it's quite expensive. So, for example, you then have to advertise to your creditors to say that, you know, they are not prejudiced to you changing the matrimonial regime and all this sort of jazz. But as I said, in relation to customary marriage, there's sort of like a gray area where you could have been married in community of property, but because you're converting to a civil marriage, then you don't need to advertise, you don't need to do an application in court. You know, and I think, you know, this process will probably be challenged in court at some point, but that's, you know, that's another process or a story for another day.
So let's talk then about being married in community of property. I imagine it would impact decisions around purchasing assets, maybe a home or a car, and even the home loan application process itself.
Correct. That's exactly it. So there is what we call a joint application. So, I mean, for example, those that are married out of community of property, they can buy a property in their name only because there's no joint estate. But if you're married in community of property, you are required by law to make a joint application with your spouse by virtue of the fact that you have a joint estate.
And that would have serious consequences if, for instance, one spouse had a poor credit score.
Mm. Absolutely. That's exactly it. You know, you because of a joint application, the banks will look at holistically the co-applicants, as it were. So they'll look at the credit score of the ones of the husband as well as the wife, by virtue of the fact that you're doing a joint application, and all these sort of jazz. But you know, we find that there are bond originators like your Ubers of this world that will be able to help with the process and make an application. And there are specific requirements that experts in the field have and know what to look out for to make the application.
On the flip side, are there benefits of a joint home loan of a joint home loan for couples married in community of property?
Absolutely. So I suppose the benefit would be a combined income. You know, by virtue of combining your income, you're more likely to get a home loan, a home grant of a bigger sum than when you were doing it by yourself. So that's the one big advantage of doing a joint application.
All right, let's assume that the shine wears off the marriage at some point. So you have remained in community of property. In a case then of divorce, how would assets be divided, particularly under the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act?
Yeah, so I suppose the tricky aspect with the customary marriage is that for you to get a divorce, you have to prove that you were married. So the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act provides that you need not have, just because you don't have a marriage certificate, it doesn't mean that your marriage is invalid. You know, on the flip side with the civil marriage is that by virtue of getting married in front of a marriage officer, you get a marriage certificate, and that's proof enough of a marriage. So with the customary marriage, if you want to get a divorce, you first then have to prove that there was a marriage, whether it be affidavits that you get from the families and the uncles to say that they were in the negotiation process and all these sort of things. So at the point that you prove your customary marriage, you then you get a divorce order, and with the joint estate where you married in community of property, both parties have an equal share in the liabilities as well as the assets. And there are instances where you can then apply for forfeiture order, where the courts will then say, look, as opposed to 50% distribution, then certain spouses is able to, or estranged spouse is able to acquire a lot more share. But long story short, in a divorce, it's the assets are split equally.
Just a quick one in conclusion then. Is it better to purchase property before or after Lebola negotiations?
Look, I think that's really a personal choice, right? So some people would say, look, I'd rather go into a marriage knowing that I've acquired a certain level of assets. You know, I'm in a position where I can get married. Whereas some people would be like, look, I'd rather start from the beginning. I want to build something with my wife or my husband. So it's really a choice that people can get to exercise.
Okay, I appreciate your time for explaining what is a very important and I think sometimes very complicated issue. Hopewell Satege, thank you very much indeed, Director at STBB Attorneys. I appreciate your time tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.